Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today, we look at Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 to 12, and then verses 17 to 18. Here's Abram on his journey now, putting aside all his plans and following the Lord. You remember the poem I read to you this past Monday? He said yes to the Lord, even though he had no idea what lay ahead, but he said yes, and he put his trust in God. Today from the book of Genesis, chapter 15, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. I will make your reward very great. Because he's been obeying the Lord. He's been following him, even as though he said, I did not know you. I worshipped another God. But Abram said, O Lord God, what good will your gifts be? If I keep on being childless and have as my heir the steward of my house, Eliezer? In other words, I have no children. What good will your gifts be? I won't have anyone to inherit, which was so terribly important and still is. But it was very important to those people. Abram continued, See, you've given me no offspring, and so one of my servants will be my heir. And then the word of the Lord came to him, No, that one shall not be your heir. Your own issue shall be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the sky and count the stars if you can. Just so, he added, shall your descendants be. And Abram put his faith in the Lord, who credited it to him as an act of righteousness, a good deed. He was standing very much alone, but he put his faith in the Lord. And he then said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land as a possession. O Lord God, he asked, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He answered him, bring me a three-year-old heifer, a three-year-old she-goat, a three-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. Abram brought him all these, split them in two, and placed each half opposite the other. But the birds he did not cut up. Birds of prey swooped down on the carcasses, but Abram stayed with them. As the sun was about to set, a trance fell upon Abram, and a deep, terrifying darkness enveloped him. When the sun had set and it was dark, there appeared a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch which passed between those pieces. It was on that occasion that the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, To your descendants, I give this land from the Wadi of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates. God is guiding Abram. And he does not fully understand. But God keeps intervening in his life. God makes promises to him. And Abram is beginning to really seriously pay attention and beginning to do what God asks of him. Brothers and sisters, in our own lives, what is God asking of you? What does he ask of you in terms of sacrifice? What does he ask of you in terms of receiving what he holds out to you? God cares for his flock, to put another analogy in there. God cares for his flock, no matter the smallest and the weakest to the strongest. He cares for each lamb and each sheep in his flock. He cares for us. He cares for you. He cares for every detail of your life. Are you going to trust him? This is the journey that Abram was on. And he had nothing to go on. He had no Christian centuries to draw on. He had none of that. But he believed God, and he put his faith in God. God carried him through. Ask Abram. Ask Abraham. He was Abram and became Abraham. Ask him to pray for you, that you might have faith like he grew in faith. It's a growing process. Ask for faith. Ask for deeper faith. Psalm 105 tells us the Lord remembers his covenant forever. God has made promises to us and asked things of us. Are we keeping our part of the covenant? Are we keeping our part of our promises? Promises made for us at our baptism, promises made at our first communion, promises made when we received the Holy Spirit in confirmation, other perhaps personal experiences in our lives where we made promises to God. Are we abiding by them? Are we true to our word? Again, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 15 to 20. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves." This is where we need God's help. People want to rob us of our faith, but they say all kinds of nice things, and they make all kinds of nice promises, and then they entice us, and then they ensnare us, and then we die. I am not being dramatic. Think of all the ways that people are enticed into drugs, into pornography, into alcohol, into infidelity, into stealing and murder. How many of us are enticed into doing that which is evil? Because we wanted to do it on our own. We thought we were strong enough. I can straddle. I can be partly in this world and partly in the other world. I'll be okay. I'm strong. I can do it. And we cannot do it. If you have not made a choice to follow Jesus Christ, I beg you to seriously look at it. Just say, "Well, yeah, I mean, I was baptized and yeah, I was going to." No, I'm asking you as an adult, for the most part here, as an adult, have you really chosen Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you received him? Have you accepted him as a gift from your Father in heaven? To you personally, have you received, have you accepted? You said all the prayers when you received the sacraments, but did you truly accept him into your life to lead you and guide you, as I so often say, safely home? You don't drift. If you let yourself drift, you aren't going to drift in the right direction. Make a decision for Christ, with Christ, in Christ, to the glory of God the Father. Make decisions in light of that. Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Just so every good tree bears good fruit and a rotten tree bears bad fruit." That's true in that world of agriculture, but it's also true in our personal human world. Every good tree bears good fruit and a rotten tree bears bad fruit. What kind of fruit are you bearing? A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So by their fruits you will know who is the true Christian, who is the true Catholic. By the fruits of their lives you will know them. Could people look at your life and say, "That person is a true Christian, a Catholic"? Would they see it by your manner, by your choices, by your goals, your priorities? Is it clear? Or is going to Mass on Sunday just fulfilling your, quote, membership dues at the church club? Too many people doing that need to make a clear decision. Jesus says, "By their fruits you will know them." And Sister Wendy Beckett in Magnificat magazine makes this comment, which I think is very, very good. She says, letting Jesus draw us into his new manhood is an equivalent of letting him be, as St. Paul says, our great amen to the Father. Our great amen to the Father, that I want my life to say, so be it, Father, your will be done. That's the meaning of amen. So be it. Yes. She writes, the wonderful phrase, yes, was always in him. Yes. Yes to the Father was always in Jesus. It's also translated as amen. I see all holiness as coming from this. The deepest truth of Jesus was his response, his obedience. Remember what it was to the Father? I can do nothing of myself. I can do nothing of myself. Everything comes from the Father. His will be done. That was Jesus' attitude. That was his life. His life was amen to the glory of God the Father. So be it. Let your will, Father, be done. Jesus did that. If Jesus can submit his will to the will of the Father, can we not? It's the safest, most beautiful place to be, even though it has its share of the crosses. But it leads us to eternal life, and it gives us peace in this life as we begin to fulfill the real purpose for which we were created, to give glory to our Father who is in heaven. Sister Wendy says, the deepest truth of Jesus was his response, his obedience. I can do nothing of myself. The Father asking the Son, joyfully saying, yes, I do always the things that please him. Jesus' joy is precisely this, letting his total yes, his total yes to the Father well up in us and carry us onto whatever the Father asks. Jesus said yes to the Father, yes, Father, thy will be done. May we attach our yes to Jesus' yes before the Father. That's where the power comes from. We are never asked to initiate, only to respond. Hence, she says, the necessity, the essential life-giving necessity of prayer, because only the praying heart can hear the Father's requests. Listen to that. You need daily prayer. You need to come in contact with God. You need to be absorbed in his word that shapes your priorities, shapes your goals, shapes your thinking. And the more that that happens, the more you are in a position to unite your heart with Jesus before the face of the Father. Father, thy will be done. That's Jesus, thy will be done. And I can unite myself with Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit and echo Jesus' yes before the Father. It's possible by his grace. May God speak to your heart. God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.